They're back.
It's sports all around the clock. Sports all the time.
Horrible. He's a horrible human being that shouldn't be in the league, is what I believe.
For one final season, live on Penguin Radio, this is the Tailgate.
But, I mean, look at me. Do I look like a cross-country runner to you? Playing against the top tiered teams in the nation.
You sure it's not top?
Top.
Dude, I love Blake Griffin. I'm not a Clippers fan, but I love Blake Griffin.
The final season of The Tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein starts right now.
And here we go.
Oh, and we're back.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's go. We're back.
Look at this. My immediate right, El Capitan, Brock Beal. My name is Hunter Hornstein, and you are tuned in to the best damn tailgate that you're ever going to have. Welcome, live on Penguin Radio, welcome to the tailgate. Final season. Let's go.
Can I say one thing before we get started? The intro was fantastic. You did a great job. I know you threw that together about 20 minutes ago, but it looked great. The bells, when the bells started going, I got a slow goosebump coming up my left arm all the way. I'm so excited to be back. So excited to be here with you. Senior year, one last season. Hopefully the rest of the year, you guys get to listen to us. If you didn't like us two seasons ago or last year, sophomore year, wow, it's been a long time. We're going to be better. We're going to be better.
We have had a very long hiatus. We went into almost a premature retirement, I feel like. And there was a lot of we should probably give a little bit of a backstory here. There was multiple times when you and I would be watching a sporting event, say a football game, a baseball game, what have you. And there was multiple times where I feel like we had a show in our living room.
We really did. I mean, we would literally be talking about the exact same things that we talk about in the studio, just with no microphone and nobody listening to us. So really, it was pointless arguments.
Which is what
this show is based on.
Absolutely.
If we're going to be honest about it.
It's snarky. It's sarcastic. It's brash. It's bold. We even had at one point, we had the Big Three's Bold Three, which...
Well, I mean, never right.
Which it's
never,
not,
ever
it's
right.
It's not funny. Our show is not funny. I mean, we're just a couple of guys that don't agree on everything in the sports world and go after it. This is the tailgate. That is what it is.
We're here to make you, as sports fans, feel better about how bad your team sucks. Like, for example, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Look at the clock here. It took us less than 5 minutes
for you to throw in
those 0-4 Steelers.
0-4. Who do they play this week?
Jets. They've got the Jets.
Oh, so 0-5. Good. Okay. Well, glad that we got that settled. My team, the Huskies, after our last little hiatus, is actually doing much better. Just lost to Stanford, but big blackout. College game day will be in Seattle this weekend. Looking forward to that. Go Dogs. For all my Husky fans out there, I know you're listening. You better be. It's going to be a good one. So I think our roles a little bit here as sports fans have reversed, where my teams have always kind of sucked, and now your teams suck, and my teams are gradually on the rise. It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice to look across the room and see somebody just in absolute misery all the time. Not trying to make fun of you.
Well,
a little bit.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm good.
This is the tailgate. We're just a couple of guys, really, that like to talk sports. So if it is your first time ever tuning into this show, we've been going on the air since February of 2011.
Wow,
it's been a long time. It's been a long time. It's a lot of fun. We're gonna try to give you. We've shortened it for our final season. We're only on the air for an hour now, which, let's be honest, is probably a good thing if you don't want to hear us yap our mouths off for 2 hours. So we're only out there for an hour now. No more Ustream. that stress level is ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're still on, you know, the social media networks. We've got a new Twitter handle. If you're looking to try to follow us, it's the DU Tailgate. It's a little different. Don't follow the other one. We forgot the password.
Meaning Hornstein, forgot the password.
Forgot the password.
It was not on my phone ever.
Forgot the password, forgot how to log in, can't delete it. And when I go and ask them, here's a funny story. I go to Twitter, email them and say, hey, can I get my password back for an account? They say, yeah, sure, go ahead. What's the email address that's associated with it? So I somehow dig and find that email address. We made up one for the tailgate. Turns out that if you don't use a Yahoo, which is free, that's why I use Yahoo. If you don't use a Yahoo account for a certain number of times, they just recycle, they cancel it. So it's as if it doesn't exist.
That makes sense.
So that makes sense. So I get the name of the email address.
Right.
Send it to Twitter. They go, okay, well, your new password's been sent to that email address. Perfect. Go to log in at the email address. It doesn't exist.
That would be a problem. I could see that being a dilemma for you.
So really, there was no possible way to... That account will probably live forever. I don't know. I mean, it's...
Moral of the story, follow us at the DU Tailgate or on Facebook at The Tailgate. You can also call us at Hunter's landline, 1-800-FUSC.
Wow.
You're
just
like
pouring
that?
Out all
right,
the
right
stops.
Right off the top of my head, that one was.
Pouring out all the stops.
Right off the top
right
of my
now.
Head, that
okay.
one was, too.
Now we're officially back. Now.
We're back. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
He's Brock Beal. I'm Hunter Hornstein, and we thought we'd give it one more go here. Senior year at Dominican University of California in San Rafael, and we wanted to bring back the tailgate. So thank you guys for tuning in, wherever you guys may be tuned into, whether that's in Washington, in Long Beach, in San Rafael, in Study Hall. Well, wherever, we're gonna have some fun tonight. Brock, what do we got on the show here for leading off show number one?
We're gonna give every week. We want to do a Penguin recap. All the Penguin sports are doing great this fall. We want to give a brief recap, scores, updates, upcoming events for that, and then we're gonna cover a couple big name news items in the sports world. Again, disclaimer here: if you are listening to this show for actual sports advice, like fantasy, if you think we're going to go over fantasy, you're wrong. Fantasy sports suck,
and people need to get lives. The people that do that, I despise. I hate the fantasy sports.
All of our analysis is based purely off of our own opinion.
Which may or may not have any merit at all.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
But it is going to be funny. We will laugh, mostly at ourselves, but we'll laugh at other people at their expense. And it's going to be a good time. So if you like laughing at sports figures, you think somebody screwed up this week, let us know. Message us, tweet us, whatever you got to do, let us know, and we'll tear them apart. It's going to be a good time.
It will be a good time, and we are going to take you all the way up to 10 o'clock and then get you out of here so you can go study. And then if you have a class on Friday, if you're one of those freshmen that has a class on Friday, first, I'm
sucks
sorry.
Sucks to suck.
But then maybe we'll all go out and celebrate our first show here. Also, Brock mentioned this on our Facebook page earlier. This is our farewell tour. So after that, after this season, we're done. We're never coming back. And so he wanted to compare us to Mariano Rivera with the Yankees. Mariano gets a bunch of gifts from all the teams that he visits and whatnot. One of the greatest closer of all time, huge baseball icon. So Brock wants gifts. That's what he's getting at. He wants gifts for our farewell tour.
Shower me in presents. Absolutely. I love getting presents. Bring them down to the studio. You can drop them off at the door. We probably won't let you in, but you can drop them off at the door. We're here. We'll be around until 10 o'clock. You got us all night. Come on in. Have a seat. There's plenty of vacant chairs here.
Plenty of vacant mics. That's something we're going to try to do a lot more this season, bring in more of those student athletes and have them on their show. And, you know, we don't necessarily even have to talk about their sport if they don't want to. If they want to talk about something in the sports world, something that's bothering them, or you just talk. Come on. Let's have some fun this final season. It's going to be a good time.
It is. I mean, the tailgate's a party, so let's go have a party. It's going to be a great time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you one more time for joining in for our farewell tour. Like Mariano Rivera, we're going out on top. Thank you very much.
The best damn tailgate that you're ever going to have. The tailgate every Thursday night. We switched it up again from last season. every Thursday night, 9 p.m. to 10 here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. He's Brock Beal. I'm Hunter Hornstein, and we're going to cut to our first break. But first, before we do that, we want to recap those Penguin Athletics NC two-way division sports here at Dominican University. Brock, you look like you got some soccer notes there.
I do. Men and women's soccer last Sunday, October 6th. The men played Academy of Art, lost 1-0. Unfortunately, that is not the biggest loss for the team. They also lost their starting keeper, Eric Anderson, during a collision. He was actually brought off the field on a stretcher and sent to the hospital. Results now are that he will be okay, but he has been replaced by backup Patrick Rabbit. So look out for that as a new keeper is coming in for the men's soccer team. The female team, the women's soccer team, on the other hand, had a rematch of an overtime game from Monday against Academy of Art and won 3-0, with the first goal coming from Kayla Okita and two more following, one by McKenna Kimball. Shout out to McKenna Kimball, was voted PacWest Player of the Week for women's soccer. Both soccer teams will head to Hawaii tomorrow morning. I believe they leave at 5 a.m. It's early, bright and early. And each will be on a four-game road trip for conference play in Hawaii.
Speaking of soccer, and you're going to get to those women highlights in a second, we have our first hit on Facebook. And it's from a brand new Penguin, a transfer student, and one that we hope has a speedy recovery. Kayla Carlson wants to say, "Go Pangs."
Go Pangs.
That's short for Penguins.
Is it? Is that slang for Penguin? Look at you. You're so up on the hip and now. Shout out to Kayla. Thank you for listening. Speedy recovery. Get back to DU soon. I believe she went home to recover. She had some knee issues. So shout out to her. Get back soon. And good luck to your girls.
Adrian Peterson had some knee issues. He came back and had one of the best seasons ever. So there's no reason Kayla's not going to be okay.
She'll be fine. She's great. She's good to go.
All right. Let's get some golf action here. Golf played in the Interwest Insurance Wildcat Classic. Penguins settled for 12th out of 15th. The winds, actually. I guess they were over 20 miles an hour out there, and that forced the final round to be canceled, which is never a good thing. Mother Nature winning that one. Your top three finishers: Drew Nelson finished 11th, Pomi Milton, finished 40th, and Sean Kawaguchi, a fellow senior, and Sean Kawaguchi, we know him well from our freshman year. He was a frequent visitor to Fanjo.
Shout out to Sean. I'm honestly, Bud, surprised that you're still alive and attending this university, because there were many a nights where you were up until 4 a.m. cramming for a test or an essay that you found out about roughly an hour before you started studying for it at 3 a.m. So congrats. Great to see you out there on the course and tearing it up. Much love, Bud.
Women's soccer, Brock, you got that?
I already did that.
Oh, that tells you how much I'm listening
to you.
You're
really into it.
Last one, we've got some women's volleyball action. The Lady Penguins, which is Brock isn't going to call these highlights this season just because.
Nope, bad luck.
If you don't know anything about Brock Beal, there's just the whole volleyball scene is,
big fan. Love Penguin volleyball. But I just can't call the highlights because every time I do, they end up botching the next match. So I'm not going to do it. That's your job now.
This past weekend, the Lady Penguins beat Chaminade University 3-1. Here are your leaders: Hannah Stocking with 13 kills and Jessica Jones with 12. Kelsey Lardner, a senior, had a pretty big night, 41 assists as well as 16 digs. Amanda Wasco, who is a transfer sophomore, she had 19 digs in that game. Maddie Powelson, a freshman, 11 digs. And Brock Beal's favorite player, Sam Raines, played big up in front of the net, 7 blocks. That was the second PacWest play win for Dominican. Their next game comes up against Holy Names. That's on Saturday, October 12th. That's an away game. If you want to go out to Oakland and go see them, side out 7 o'clock. And the next home game is a non-conference against Ursuline College. And that's on Tuesday, October 15th at 6 p.m. at the Conlin Center. If you can't make it out, you can listen to it on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Note about Ursuline College: they have not had a home game because a tornado took out their gym.
Really?
Got those in the game
that
notes.
That will do that. Yeah.
Got those in the game notes provided me by the sports information director, Brandon Davis, here at the university.
Oh, great guy.
Yeah, that is not good. They've been playing road games, and they've been practicing wherever they can at high schools, at fields, and so a tough go for them. And
You know, you never wish anything like that upon your opponent, but no. An unbelievable feat that they are going to have to overcome this season.
Absolutely. Great. Best of luck to those ladies and getting their gym back together. That sounds like not such a fun deal to deal with on your season. It's
no.
Just kind of like a random, what are you going to do?
Random occurrence there.
What are you going to do?
All righty. We are at our first time out here on the tailgate. We're going to take a quick break, catch our breaths. When we come back, we're going to talk a little baseball action. The A's falling to the Detroit Tigers tonight. Justin Verlander was filthy. We'll get our thoughts on that and keep it rolling here. You're listening to The Tailgate with Hornstein and Beal on Penguin Radio. Yeah.
What it is, what it isn't. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Me get up, first shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. That Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT shit hustling. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the four-track busting. Halfway across that city with the back crushing. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people. Spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people. Spread it across the country.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Can we go back?
Welcome back to the show.
Great song. Look, oh, God. Aren't we glad we can listen to country on our radio station? Oh, it's fantastic.
Country in Marin County does
country,
not get hey, much better
that.
Than that.
Look at us go. Hey, what do you know? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a breaking update. Most of you are probably watching the game. Unfortunately, the Oakland Athletics have fallen 3-0. To the Detroit Tigers. They lost game 5, which means they are out of the postseason, which is unfortunate. When was the last time they were in the postseason before this year? It's been a while.
It was last year.
They made it. Oh, they made
it
to the wild
last
card.
Year, but before that, it was.
They made it to the wild card last year.
It had been a while.
Yeah.
No, they made it to the ALDS as well. You're really showing your baseball knowledge off right now.
Hey, you know, I just.
You're getting better.
I just watched that MLB Network.
I will say, you're getting 24/7.
Better.
You're getting a lot better at it.
What are you going to do?
You're getting a lot better. Last year, they lost in game 5 at the Coliseum. To Justin Verlander, deja vu all over again.
Look at that. Weird how that works out.
We were talking during the break, though, that bandwagon here, Bay Area baseball bandwagon, is getting awfully full, and all of a sudden it feels like a giant, your weight has been lifted.
There was a lot of orange and black turning to yellow and green very quickly. I think, actually, the last time I saw so much yellow and green come out of nowhere was when the Oregon Ducks magically got good. Who knew that everybody in the state of Oregon and Washington was a Ducks fan? I didn't. I had best friends that all said, oh, yeah, go Ducks. Well, okay. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to say, no, I'm a Giants fan, you know, till I die, whatever, blah, 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 blah. There was a lot of people that started rocking some yellow and green real quick.
I think the Bay Area has been spoiled, especially since we first arrived here.
Oh, yeah. We've had a lot to talk about locally.
2010. All of a sudden, I had a lot of friends that were Giants fans that had not even said they.
I didn't even know. I became a Giants fan. I'm a huge Giants fan now.
Now
I'm an A. But that's beside the point.
but yeah, the point is, though, the last few years, there's been a lot of fans coming out of the woodwork, so to speak.
Lots. Yeah. It's like the Bay Area won the lottery. And
yes.
All the estranged relatives are coming back in out of nowhere.
Is it safe to say you could say the same thing with the Niners? All of a sudden, all those fans started coming out a little
bit.
And
I guarantee you, if the same thing happened with the Raiders, they'd be crawling out of nowhere. They'd be coming in hot.
I high-five the Raiders now, though, that say go Raiders, because those are the true fans. And the true fans that have no problem going to jail if I tell them otherwise.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't do that.
But I saw a tweet out there. It was from a Cardinals fan. At least it seemed like it was from a Cardinals fan that was ripping on Pittsburgh, saying, "Oh, look at all your fans coming out. That's a team, 21 years of losing, and you finally make it to the postseason." I can understand that.
Well, and that's a little bit different because Pittsburgh, there's not two teams within, what, 30? How far away is the Coliseum from AT&T? It's not that far. It's like a bridge away. So for a fan in Pittsburgh to maybe also have a secondary favorite team is a little bit more okay with me, because if your team is that bad for that long, you need something. I mean, come on. You need a little bit of love. You can't just have a 21-year, or it's like 28 years.
Yeah, 21 years.
21 about, years?
The last time they were in the postseason, we're talking about the Pittsburghs now, or the Pirates now, was 1992.
Okay.
So Barry Bonds was on that team.
I was a year old, pushing a year old. So it's been a while. As a fan of that city, or of that team in that city, I'm okay with you pushing away a little bit more. Just a little bit more. But if you're a Giants fan,
you can't, World Series in the last four years.
Oh, my God.
Two rings, and then as soon as your team starts to kind of suck, then you jump onto that, you know, and then my favorite is people that say, "Bay Area, you know, I rep the entire Bay Area." Get over it. Choose a team.
It's not, you can't just do that.
I'm a Southern California guy. I'm not repping the Padres, the Chargers, the Lakers, and the Clippers, and the Dodgers, and the, no, I got my teams. I choose
You have loyalty.
Exactly.
You need to have some loyalty.
Fans need to have loyalty if the players and the organizations are not. And how many times do you see that? Sports isn't about loyalty anymore. So there's one thing that you're going to do, it's got to be with the fans. Got to be.
Well, that's where you get all your identity from, really. I mean, players come and go, coaches come and go, but the fans and the fan base and their ideals about the team and the organization are really, I think, what drives a lot. Like Steelers, for example. A little bit of a rough spot. I'm not giving you a bad time right now.
Till I die, Brock. Steelers, till I die.
But that fan base in Pittsburgh for the Steelers,
they're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. And they have built that culture of the Steelers, you know, the Steel Curtain, all those guys.
They say the same thing about the Raiders.
Exactly.
The Raiders
same
are
exact
awful,
thing.
And they're still
thing.
Here.
Exactly. The one thing, we're jumping around a lot between sports. Bear with us. This year, correct me if I'm wrong, the Giants actually started out pretty hot. I believe they were in first in their division for a while. At least the first maybe quarter to a half of the season, they were in the hunt for quite a while. Am I wrong? They were in the hunt. There was a lot of Giants fans. Slowly, it was almost like if you just took a graph and saw the number of wins and the number of Giants fans, they just
went
perfectly in opposite directions. And then you take the A's fans and the A's wins and do the same thing, and it's unreal. Even at our school, a little tiny school in Marin County, and you could slowly see the orange and black going away.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of those A's hats coming out and whatnot, and it was almost like that one looks like the sticker was just taken off.
Yeah, you've still got a little sticker gunky glue on the brim of that cap. Go home. Stop it. I saw you in a Giants hat yesterday. You're a traitor, and nobody likes you. All right? Go home.
The A's are going home, though. They lose game five, and that whole Moneyball thing comes to question. I had an argument with somebody that worked over the summer with the San Rafael Pacifics, the minor league baseball team that's here, and he tried to tell me. He said, "Moneyball works." I said, "Okay, sure." He goes, "It's supposed to be over the season, and because playoffs are way too small a sample size for averages to, you know, average."
So then it
out.
Doesn't work.
Exactly. That was my point, though. He goes, "Oh, it works. We got to the postseason."
I said, great. You're happy about getting to the postseason. Seven other teams got to the postseason. One team wins a world championship. Why do you think Yankee fans think every year that they don't win a World Series is a failure? Because they've won 27. They've gotten to the point where that's the goal.
Like, that's the thing that
they
do. You
can't just be happy, unless you're maybe the Pirates. Yeah. I guarantee you the Pirates.
Shout out to the Pirates fans. There's actually an article written where they said, you know, very enthusiastic about the team making the playoffs.
I guarantee you that they want to win the World Series. But even to get to the postseason after 21 years, pretty friggin' cool. Okay, but my point is that to say Moneyball works to the extent of what an organization's goal should be, it does not. You have to win a World Series. You have to win a championship. I don't care how many times you get to the postseason.
I think about it this way. What we just saw in this series between the A's and the Tigers, right? Great series. Great. Both teams had great years. Both made it to the postseason, obviously. If you come down to game five like it did tonight, who hit the game-winning home run?
Miguel Cabrera.
How much does he get paid? We don't. We're not going to throw out numbers, but let's throw out a number for fun.
I think it's close to almost $30 million.
Okay.
I think you could say.
Who do you want swinging the bat in game five or game seven of the postseason?
Do you want your guy that's going to be, you know, making the big bucks that you brought him there to do?
Yeah.
Or do you want the, oh, he gets on base guy? Oh, he's really cheap.
Percentages say he's going to get on base 35% of the time.
Yeah.
Well, Miguel Cabrera just crushed a 3-run homer and you just lost and you're going home because you're on base percentage. If nobody can drive in the run, who cares?
If nobody can get on base,
yeah,
they're facing Justin Verlander.
Yeah. He's getting paid a lot of money to not let you do what you're trying to do. Hello? Am I the only one that, like, this is not calculated? Like,
Sabermetrics works to a point, but you have to have resources. You have to have money.
And the reason why I think, based off watching the movie Moneyball, they took that to Boston and they won the World Series, right? But,
they
were using the same idea, but their pay level was higher. So they were getting really good, like, better players off the same idea, but spending more money. So they weren't spending it on two guys. They were spending it across the board, but getting higher levels of talent. Is that essentially the same?
You are absolutely correct.
God, I'm a genius. I can manage baseball. Look at me over here. Oh, just give me a team with some money. Cash flow. Come on.
Of course, you could pull the Angels and just throw money at 30 broken something players, and you're screwed for the next 10 years.
I feel like we could talk about the Angels all day because I slowly watched your hair turn from shiny black to
it's just maddening.
Salt and pepper gray.
It's maddening.
Oh, it's maddening. Just off the Angels season. But we won't go into that because I feel like you might cry on air, and we don't want that. That would be hurtful for everybody involved.
I'm past crying. I'm past crying. I'm at just rock in the corner silently, sniffling.
Yeah.
It was a rough year. It was a rough season.
To tie it all back together, are you still an Angels fan?
Absolutely.
Are you still a Steelers fan?
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, the heart and soul of an organization right here, a fan.
And I'm still going to be a Lakers fan, even though we're going to suck this year, too.
A Lakers fan and a USC fan.
And I'm a Trojan fan. Go Trojans, baby!
I mean, this guy right here, thick and thin, ain't no fair weather fan right here. He's sticking it out. That's what teams need. So all you fans that are jumping around out there, you don't deserve a championship. You don't deserve one. Hunter Hornstein deserves his. He's already gotten his. Now it's my turn. I want my Huskies to win some more rings.
Nah.
Yeah, no. The tides have turned. It's coming back. That and the Blazers. They'll have their day again
sometime. No chance.
They'll have their day. You watch it.
No chance.
The tides are turning. I can feel it coming. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
One thing we can both agree on, though, I think, just as long as those Oregon Ducks.
Oh, God, please lose.
Still have that goose egg.
Roll Tide. If nothing else, my last hope. I've become
a
bandwagon Alabama fan simply for the fact that they win championships, and that means that Oregon does not. That is the only I don't care about anything else. As long as Alabama is still winning national championships and the SEC in general is winning national championships, that means that there are none in Eugene, and that makes me very, very happy. Thank you very much.
Earlier in the show, we talked about the lack of credibility. We just went on a 10-minute rant about bandwagon fans, and then Brock Beal goes ahead and...
Whoa, they're still not my number one team. They're like two or three, but the point is... Actually, you could say I'm not the opposite of a bandwagon because the reason that I like Alabama is because I hate Oregon so much because I'm a Husky fan. See how that all ties together, kind of? So the reason that I'm an Alabama fan is because I want Oregon to lose so bad because of my love for purple and gold.
That's some really, really screwy math.
In my
right
head,
there.
Though, math, it makes math, a lot math. Of sense. In my head, and I'm sure if you called up some boys in Camas or in Seattle right now, they would feel the exact same way. I guarantee it. They know exactly how it works. As long as there's still Goose Egg and Eugene, we're all good, baby. We are all good. No problems here.
Look, somehow that makes sense, though. You know, I mean, somehow it makes sense. Okay, so wrapping up this whole thing, pick a team. I'm sick of hearing people say I'm a Bay Area sports. No, pick a team.
Pick
Let's
a
go.
Team. Yep.
Here we go.
Saddle up. Stick with it. Deal with it. Take your lumps like everybody else. And you know what? When you win, it's going to be that much sweeter. It's going to be that much sweeter. Ask Boston. Ask all those teams that were out of it for so long. That
yeah.
much sweeter.
And Boston and the Tigers will face off in the ALCS. It'll be the Dodgers and the Cardinals in the
Doyers.
NLCS. And oh my goodness, if the Dodgers win a World Series, that might be the last straw.
You might just be jumping ship altogether. That you might never turn on a baseball game.
That
again.
Might be the last straw. I'll start. I don't know. I'll start watching the WNBA or something outlandish.
Hey, championship game was tonight. WNBA championship game was tonight. We saw it on TV.
See, that doesn't make sense to me. How are you able to have...
It was on ESPN,
the
Ocho.
The NBA season hasn't even started, and the women's season is already done?
It's like a marketing thing. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. You're listening to The Tailgate, the farewell tour on radio.dominican.edu. Penguin Radio, coming back at you in a little bit.
We'll be right back.
Radio.Dominican.edu, the official radio home of Penguin Athletics and everything Dominican University of California. Welcome back to the show. This is The Tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein.
How you doing? Looking good? Halfway through the first show?
Halfway through, and it's a little different.
It's a little different.
We were talking about it during the break, knowing that we have less than a half hour to go is a lot different than knowing that we have another full hour ahead of us.
But I feel like the fans out there are getting 100% because I'm still fresh. I still got juice left for the second half hour. I feel good.
We're sprinting marathons at this point.
Yeah, we're marathons, right? Or yeah. No, wait.
We're sprinting.
100-yard dash.
100-yard dash. There we go.
It's
a hard
sprint.
90. Yeah. It's a hard 90.
Look at us, track and field experts over here. Ladies and gentlemen, our next story. Oh, you wanted a high five?
I was going for the high five.
I got you. Let's see if we can get on. Yeah.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our next story has been breaking news all across the nation this week. We don't want to just regurgitate information here, but we'll give you a little background. Jadeveon Clowney, star defensive lineman for South Carolina, consensus number one draft pick in the NFL draft this upcoming year, number one on every single draft board. Am I right in saying that? I mean, he's far and away the best player. He was a Heisman watch list guy as a defensive lineman. Very impressive resume, obviously. Was the one that had that huge hit against Michigan in the bowl game last year that was just retired, I think, for top plays of the year.
Yeah, if you don't know who he is and you see the hit, you'll immediately know who it is.
Go get on Google. I mean, you'll know who he is. He opted to not play in South Carolina's last game this past Saturday. He claimed that his ribs were sore. Now, the problem with that is that the trainer or a doctor didn't tell Steve Spurrier. Clowney told him and said, you know, just really not feeling it today, coach. You know, and that's understandable if a player's hurt. But there's been a lot of people that have come out and criticized him as saying, you know, I think he's just taking a year off because he knows he's about to get paid. He's about to make some serious coin at the next level, and he's just taking a break to rest his body and to make sure that he preserves his wealth. What do you think about this?
I think there's two ways that you look at it, and one of them being you go the this is unacceptable, the old school way of, hey, you play for a team, you play for that team in right now. You don't think the next game, you don't think a year down the road, 2 years, or anything like that. You're playing for your team. That's who you're going to war with. That's who you need to win with. You know, those are your boys. You know, and that goes with any sport. The other half of it is that, you know, he's making a business decision in what is turning into, if not already, a business empire. And we're talking about college football in this situation here, because let's be honest, you're not going there if you're a D1 athlete. You are not going there, especially football. Football, basketball, baseball not as much. You know, but football specifically, and let's just focus on the gridiron. You're not going there for it if you're any good. I should say. I mean, no disrespect to those players, but if you're a Reggie Bush, you know, if you're a Terrell Pryor, I'm just throwing out names that come off the top of my head. No, you know, you're not there for the education. You're not there for any of that.
God, no.
I guarantee you that, and you're there to make money for not only your future as an NFL draft, you know, prospect, but you're there to make money for that university.
Yeah, especially if you're a high-end guy like Clowney.
And it's something his coach even admitted to.
Yeah.
He said, you know, if he doesn't play, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he said, you know, if you're not going to play another down or suits up ever again, we need to all be thankful that he came to this university, that we got to see that talent, that he brought in the money, that he did. He seeing any of that? Absolutely not.
Well, how many millions of dollars has South Carolina made off of number 7 jerseys this year? They actually raised their average ticket price by $6 a ticket this season because of him and all of the hype that he built. His first couple games, he is like way off the pace to be a Heisman candidate. He's had like 12 tackles total in 3 games.
Well, in that first game that was publicized and hyped up the
against North Carolina, right?
Once the third quarter rolled around, that second half,
I mean, you saw him barely getting off the line. As soon as the ball was snapped, he stood up.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
He was done. He was gassed. He looked awful. And I think that in itself kind of put the nail in the coffin before we could even get going in the season.
Yeah, his Heisman campaign, if you will, ended week one, which is unfortunate because it would have been really cool to see a defensive player, especially a defensive lineman, because how often does this happen? Never. Be up there with, you know, the quarterbacks and the running backs and the wide receivers and all these flashy high-end players. It would have been cool to see just a straight football-playing athlete out there on defense making a name for himself. But he's doing it in the wrong way, much like Johnny Manziel did in the offseason. He's making a bad name for himself. Do you have a problem with a guy taking breaks like this? If you were, let me rephrase that. If you were his teammate, say you're a senior, he's a senior, you've been going through it. He's actually a junior, but you're in the same class. You've been together. You went through your first freshman 2 days together. Maybe you roomed with him for a semester or a year. You've known him for a couple of years now, and he says, you know, I'm not going. What's your reaction to that as a teammate?
If I'm a teammate, I'm upset. And yeah. I think you have to be upset if you're a teammate, especially if you are, like you said, going through that journey with your brothers. I mean, that is, you're going to war with them every day. You're strapping it on. You know, you're all there for a common goal, and that's winning. I presented both sides of the argument, but you're asking me as a player, I'm upset. And if I'm, there was a lot of analysts that, you know, on a lot of the different shows and whatnot that said, a leader needs to show up in the locker room and say, okay, if you're not going to be here, get out. You're done. And I would agree with that from the player's perspective. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know who has the most right to be pissed off about this whole thing? It's not the coach. The coach is going to be there for 5 more years until he collapses on the sideline or something. But it's not the starting quarterbacks. It's not the offensive linemen. It's not the star wide receivers or the star running backs. You know who has the most right to be pissed off out of anybody on that team? Is the third string walk-on defensive linemen that are bleeding every day in practice just to have a chance to wear the uniform, probably never even playing a game, but just to be on the team and represent their school. Is probably a kid whose dad played there or grandpa's played there, you know, who's just bleeding for South Carolina. And you've got the star player saying, yeah, no, I'm not really into it right now. I'm good. I'm gonna do me. You guys keep playing, but I'm just going to sit over here and do my own thing. That's the guy that should be pissed because he's throwing away natural talent.
Yeah, and as a player that, you know, struggled for however many years to get to that point, and you know, you go through that personal sacrifice of yourself, you know, I think there's going to be a sense of resentment that obviously is going to be there. And, you know, if it's hard to understand what Jadeveon is trying to, is his thought process when people on the outside are looking at what we're seeing as a great talent, an unbelievable player, basically say, you know, I'm above this. And people don't take kindly to that at all.
No, they do not. They really do not. And unfortunately, if this works out well for him and he still gets drafted highly in the NFL draft and still makes his millions, which he'll make either way. I mean, let's be honest. He's going to make a lot of money. His family is going to be exponentially more wealthy based off of his football playing abilities.
And
I don't even know anything about his family, but an NFL lifestyle changes a family's outcome.
And good on him for – I'm not going to say what his behavior is at all. I'm not advocating, but good on him for recognizing what he is. He is a business opportunity, mm-hmm. and he has the opportunity to take care of his family and take care of those that he loves and be set for life. And it's because of that great talent. So good on him for realizing that now. Did he go about it the right way? I'm not sure.
You know, the one thing that I was going to say, unfortunately, if this works out well for him and he goes on to the NFL, has a great career, makes his money, you know, is taken care of for the rest of his life, what message does that send to future college athletes? You know, what message does that send to a guy 5 years from now, you know, that goes, oh, well, my senior year, I really don't want to get hurt because if I get hurt, then I could lose a lot of money. So maybe I'll come back to school, play in a couple games, have a really, really good couple games,
And then, oh, man, you know, my elbow is just really killing me. Oh, I don't, you know, I don't think I can go, and just start cruising and put it on cruise control. If this works out for Clowney and he makes all of his money, this could become an epidemic in college sports.
It's almost like the one and done rule in college basketball.
Yeah.
Where you have a great talent come in or a great team. Like, let's use Kentucky a couple years back. They had an unbelievable team. They went on. They won a national championship. The fans loved them. You know, the school loved them. The nation loved watching them. And one and done, they gone.
They way gone.
You know, and that is a disservice. You know, yeah. You see a lot of people upset. Do they get it? Yes. You have an opportunity to make money at 20 years old, 19 years old. Abso-friggin-lutely. I would do it if I was taller than
a lot of people
what
would
I am.
Do it.
You know, I don't blame them, but it is a bit of a disservice to those fans that are fans of the game that enjoy watching this talent because it doesn't come around all the time.
Yeah, it does tarnish the sport a little bit, and it tarnishes their team, I think, a little bit more just because that's sending a message to recruits, again, future players that are saying, oh, well, this guy did it, and he was one of the best to ever do it at our school or best to ever do it in our sport or what have you. It just sends a really poor message. I definitely don't condone the action. I understand, though, why he would do it. I get that. I understand that. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not going to say he's stupid for doing it. I understand what he's doing. But let's see. I think we should see if he goes back out and plays and maybe turns his season around and has a great second half of the season or a great three quarters of the season. But it'll be very interesting to see how the rest of this plays out into his future.
You mentioned it could turn into an epidemic for college football. I'm not sure if it does. I think this is an opportunity for college football to finally call itself what it is and what everyone knows it is.
Semi-pro league?
And exactly. It's the minor leagues for the NFL.
It is. I mean, every other professional sports team has a semi-pro league. You have AAA, AA, single A for baseball. You have the D-League for basketball. You have all the Euro leagues and all that.
College football is a business, and until the NCAA, you know, admits that, I mean, they have no power. They have zero power at all. It's all the universities. The more money you have, money speaks. So yeah. I think, yes, it could be an epidemic from a fan's perspective that you're going to a game and going.
You're not sure if the guy wearing his jersey is going to play. Who
and
knows?
You spend $40 on that jersey and you paid $6 extra for your ticket and they're not playing. From that sense, yes, it's
an epidemic.
However, yeah. College football has an opportunity to finally, you know, stop being dumb about this whole thing and tell themselves what they are, and that's a business.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Couldn't agree more. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. The last 10 minutes or so, we are going to do our new segment called Pick'ems. We're going to pick a couple games from this weekend, and we've got some side bets going on. We'll tell you all about it right after this.
Everything is gold, everything is equal. Posted on the porch, just chilling, me and my people. Eyelids closed, gold sun shines on. The world's coated in a gold Krylon, yeah. And these days, they never run away. Gold tints, shades to block out that golden haze. Take all the gold from the pawn shop that lives behind the case. And give it away. When gold erupted from volcanoes in the heavens, and every shrine that existed in time melted. Tombs open, dookie ropes on the barrels. When everything is gold, who cares about the carrots? They say the gold's the skin of the gods. You can't take the band-aid when you're gone. Tip over that kiosk in the mall as the sunset falls into tomorrow.
Today we're feeling like gold. 500,000 sold. Slick Rick gold. Rope on helico. And we stay fresh, so fresh head to toe. Slugger faded, 14 karat plated, so we're feeling like gold.
500,000 sold, slick Rick gold, rope on helico.
Today we're feeling like gold.
So fresh at the toes, gold slugger faded, 14 karat plated, so we're feeling like gold.
All right, now we open up that car door, hop out, hope they notice us. Throughout society, we've been locked in that cobra clutch. More gold bottles never sober up. Dear Jesus and
gold I trust. I solemnly swear to wear my cross and stuff. Separate myself by sticking out just because. That's how you illustrate power and who you're above. But nah, tonight we take it, giving it back. Crack open the boat, let everyone mob in the bank. Take whatever they want, we party and give thanks. I've been rocking gold chains since P was in a tank. You only live once, you only live once. Watch Rick Ross give his Jesus peace to a bum. Cause tonight, we ball, we coming up. Painting the glow gold, two-stepping on the sun.
Like gold, 500,000 sold. Slick Rick gold, rope on, hella cold. And we stay fresh, so fresh, head to toe. Gold slugger faded, 14 karat plated. So we feeling like gold.
Coins, gold phone, gold car. Cost at least 10 racks to get 16 gold bars. Gold rush, suck on my gold dust. I ain't under these gold trunks. That's two golden nuggets. Flying on the gold eagle, flyer than the rest of them. Pass the space needle, golden shower on pedestrians. Excuse me, that's my bad, that's my ego. And he shouldn't have. My ego got hair, that motherfucker got a mullet, bruh. And it's gold. Two girls, gold grass, lounging on the water, beating the gold sand. Sipping on Orangina, arms around them both hands. They're sipping old English right out of a gold can. Two girls, gold spandex, so pretty. Girl ain't even gold, she just got golden girl titties. I'm kidding. Everyone is gold in my city. You paint Betty White gold, even Betty White can get it. Get it, get it, get it.
Today we're feeling it. Like gold. 500,000 sold, slick Rick gold. Stay fresh, so fresh, head to toes. Gold slugger faded, 14 karat plated. So we're feeling like gold. 500,000 sold, slick Rick gold. Rope on, hella cold. And we stay fresh, so fresh, head to toes. Gold slugger faded, 14 karat plated. So we're feeling like gold.
Welcome back to The Tailgate, the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have. Every Thursday night, 9 to 10 for one final season. Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein with you. We have a new little game that we're going to play. If you were a fan of our previous seasons, you know that we like to throw in these different segments and whatnot. This one, we're going to have a little bit, it's more of a game atmosphere, and there's actually going to be a lot riding on it as the losers of these pick'ems that we're going to have here. We'll have to do, I don't want to say cruel and unusual punishment, but definitely
it's pretty messed up.
A shot of hot sauce is no fun for anybody.
Yeah.
And that's what's on the line tonight. So here's your team tailgate pick'ems, and that'll wrap us up as we are closing in at 10 o'clock here on the tailgate.
All right, our first matchup that we have here is actually a record-breaking matchup, little known. This weekend, Denver Broncos, Jacksonville Jaguars, 28-point spread for the Broncos is the highest in NFL history. Are you going over under? Do they cover the spread or no?
You know, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I think you put two. And okay, we should probably explain this here. This isn't on any sort of facts. We didn't research this at all. We pick three little topics right before we go on the air, and we just use basically intangibles. We don't use any statistics or any research. We don't talk to anybody or go on Twitter. This is just straight gut feeling, and I think that's tough. I don't think they will. I think Jacksonville's a very bad team. There's no getting around that. They're not a good team. However, I just don't think that Denver's going to get themselves to that magic 28-point spread.
I think they're going to cover it. I think they're going to win the game 35-38-6. And I think they're going to cover it barely cover it, but I think they will. I just think that Denver's offense is too good right now. They just have so many weapons, and they just keep finding new ways to score. Obviously, Peyton Manning's a big thing. They have three different running backs that can carry the ball.
At a certain point, though, it gets ridiculous when you start running up the score and talking about in that aspect. I think you get your points and you go home. This is a shoe-in for Denver. I don't think Peyton's going to play the entire game. And that's obviously when you take Peyton out, you're
chances of scoring diminish drastically. So I say no.
I just think that Denver is too good of a team. Jacksonville, sorry if you're a Jacksonville fan, but
you're not a Jacksonville fan. No one is a Jacksonville fan.
Yeah, even your own TV station apologizes for having to play Jacksonville.
Nobody's
games.
A Jacksonville fan.
Jeez,
let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I just think that it's too lopsided. It might not all come from the offense. There could be some special teams or some defensive points in there somewhere, but I think that Denver wins by more than 28. The next matchup, and I picked this one, just because this is a classic NFL rivalry, you know, going way back to like the old school.
All right, get on with it. I don't care, man. Just pick them. Let's go.
Okay. Well, Redskins and Cowboys. Who you got?
I'll always pick against Tony Romo.
Okay, so Washington.
He's not a winner. He hasn't won. I think the only thing that comes with any consistency with Tony Romo's game is an interception, and I think. You know, RG3 isn't the same, and the Redskins, you know, I don't like Tony Romo. That's my point.
Fair enough. I am going to take...
It's going to be close, though. It's going to be close, but if you get under 2 minutes and Romo finds a receiver, it's just going to be for the other team.
Yeah. I'm taking Dallas based off the fact that I have Alfred Morris on my fantasy team, and based off my record in fantasy football, I'm like 1-4. So obviously he's not doing something right.
You heard me earlier in the show.
Give me some points, man.
You heard me earlier in the show when I said those fantasy owners are dumb and pointless.
Yeah,
and need
I'd
to get
be
on
an
with
example
their lives.
Of that
yeah.
right now. So I mean, if he breaks out and has a great game, great. Fantasy team is going to do awesome. If he doesn't, I'm not taking a shot of hot sauce. So I'm a winner in either way. Now we're moving on to some baseball. New series starting this coming week, I believe. First would be Detroit, who just beat the A's, versus the Boston Red Sox. Who do you think is going to take it?
I like Boston. They were my pick to win the World Series. Not on this show or anything. I just blatantly picked them on Twitter. I think right now with the hobbled Miguel Cabrera, and we talked about it a lot in our living room watching those games, that he did not look good at all walking on one leg. I think... two pitchers in a seven-game series isn't enough. I like Verlander. I like Scherzer. Max Scherzer didn't look as dominant as he was this season, over the course of the season. I think Boston, they get to open up at home, which is a huge factor for them. Their pitching has been lights out all season, and they find ways to score. And if you saw anything of this this series with Oakland, the Tigers were really struggling to score runs in that five-game series. I think seven games is going to be a little too much for an injured Tigers team that's not scoring any runs.
I'm going to take Detroit. I like Verlander a lot, obviously. And, you know, he's injured. He's hurt. Who hit the game-winning home run tonight?
Miguel Cabrera.
Okay. I just, you know.
He hit the home run off of a 20-something pitcher,
you know,
who's a rookie.
Hey,
he had nine starts in the big leagues.
Hey.
And you're asking him to face Miguel Cabrera? I tell you
That wasn't my decision.
Miguel Cabrera is not hitting a home run off John Lackey. He's not hitting a home run off Clay Buchholz. He's not hitting a home run off John Lester. You can break that down. He's not going to hit a home run this entire series.
All right. Hey, I'm just saying sometimes, you know, winners find a way to win. I hope I'm right. Again, baseball knowledge, taking a shot in the dark. Go Tigers!
I think there's gonna be a lot of people that agree. I think there's a lot of people that agree with you. I didn't like what I saw for them with the A's. I think the A's could have won that series, and that's in a 5-game series. 7 games might be a little too much.
Our last one for the night: St. Louis Cardinals, Los Angeles Dodgers. I have a feeling I know who you're gonna pick, and it's not the Dodgers.
As much as I'm not a huge fan of the Cardinals. I'm indifferent, but I hate the Dodgers.
Yep.
And
okay.
Actually, I meant to tell you this. The good doctor down south, she's got a bet going on in her office.
Oh,
if
good.
The Dodgers win, make it or win the World Series, she has to wear a Dodgers shirt to work one of these days. So just for the sake of her not having to stoop that low, I'm going to go ahead and pick St. Louis.
Okay. I feel like she'd break out in a rash. I'm going to take Los Angeles just because I think it'd be hilarious to hear you cry about that. And I know that there's a lot of Dodgers fans up here in the Bay. Again, bandwagoners come out of nowhere. I don't know. I'll jump on there with you. Let's go Dodgers. Bring one home for Brock. That's all I got. I don't know. I don't know anything about baseball, so I'm just going to pick it based off of some of my friends of mine are LA fans. That's all I got.
So we've
and
got
you're not one. So
we've
that
got
also helps.
Four. You've got four pick'ems there, do you? Or three? What
we
do you
got? Four.
Here?
Four total.
You've got four. Okay. So how are we going to do this to find out who has to take the shot? You got to have one more pick'em there, and it's got to be a best of five. Whoever wins the most out of these five.
Well, we'll settle it the old-fashioned way. Rock, paper, scissors, baby. Rochambeau. If it's a tie, if it's 2-2, we'll rock, paper, scissors. Loser takes a shot of hot sauce.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Hey, it's a tailgate. What do you want?
We're out of time here, 10 o'clock. That will do it. A very quick hour here on the tailgate as we just start our final season here. This is it. I mean, we're done. Farewell tour. Show number one in the books. We'll be back next Thursday. Same time, same place, same two guys. Brock, overall thoughts on show number one?
Just great to be back. Couldn't be happier. Fans, this is all for you guys. We had so many requests to come back for a final year. It's all for you guys. Thank you so much for supporting us. We love you all. Please tune in again. Tell your friends. Listen to the podcast. If you're in study hall, it's a great way to spend an hour. I know it sucks. Might as well have a little bit of fun with us while you're up there. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend.
For Brock Beal, my name is Hunter Hornstein. We'll hear you next Thursday, 9 to 10. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, the official radio home of Dominican University of California. This has been the tailgate, the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have. Have a great night, everyone. We'll hear you next week.